The handout that Simcha printed is something very special. This is from the very recently printed, like Thursday printed, Minchas Asher on Purim L'Chayalim. So this is a printout of the Sefer, which I could have actually brought in a handheld one. It's a small little pocket-sized Sfarim that we make for the Chayalim. So we printed it, came out right last Thursday, so it's been in existence for a week. And it has 11 lengthier halakha pieces and 17, you know, mid-sized to smaller hashkafic or agada pieces. And this, as you can see, is the first piece in the agada, the first piece in the hashkafa section. And it's a very, very powerful piece. I've used it in the past. I think maybe once in this country. Last year, I was in America for Parshas Zachor, and I wanted to share this piece. And I don't know if we ever did it in this Friday morning Avodas Hashem setting, but it really is an appropriate piece, not only to insight into Purim, into Parshas Zachor, but it's really an insight into what I think is a core building block of Avodas Hashem, which is what we're all about here on Fridays. So it says, Rav Asher Weiss, this is as follows. Ready? Here we go. Hine, shnei mishalim niflaim heviu Rabbeinu Hagadol Rashi binyan Maisa Hamalek. Right? So we're reading Parshas Zachor this Shabbos, and when we think about Hamalek, so we don't always consider the fact that, in fact, there are two different parables, two different metaphors, two different mishalim that Chazal have, that Rashi quotes about Parshas Zachor. The first one, and the most famous one, is in Parshas Ki Teitze, where we have the mitzvah of Mechiyas Amalek, and remembering Amalek. And there, Rashi says, Hayu kol umos yireim lihilachem b'chem, what was the particular evil and rishus of Amalek? That until that point, everyone was intimidated. We were on fire coming out of Egypt with all the Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf. No one was going to start with us. No one would have messed with us. But then they, even though they weren't successful, but they had a lasting negative and damaging impact on Klal Yisrael. In essence, say Chazal, every anti-Semitic attack, every enemy that we have, every injury, every pain, every terrorist attack that we've had in all of Jewish history, it all goes back to Amalek. Because no one would have started with us if it wouldn't have been for Amalek. And what is the mashal to illustrate this phenomenon? Mashal ambati rotachat she'en klabir yichol aleire letocha. There was a person, there was a certain hot water spring, a hot water bath that was so hot, no one could get into it, no one could touch it. Ba ben blial echad kafatz v'yar letocha. Then there was this one meshugana, one bad guy, who jumped into the water. Afa pisha nichve hikra osab if nechayim. Even though he got burned, he got scalded, he jumped into the boiling water, didn't do anything good for him. But the impact was, because he jumped in, the water cooled off. The water cooled down. So it says, in essence, say Chazal, that was what happened to Amalek. We defeated them. They got burnt. But it cooled us off. All of a sudden, people weren't intimidated by Am Yisrael anymore. People weren't scared to attack us. That is the more famous mashal. But, says Rav Asher Weiss, we should be aware, that actually comes Parshas Ki Teitze. However, in Parshas B'Shalach, when the Jewish people are actually going out of the desert, when the actual event takes place, when Amalek attacks us, we fight back, there, Rashi also brings a mashal. But it's not the same mashal at all. Says the Rashi quoting Chazal, Samach Parsha Zu Lemikra Zeh. The pasuk right before that, actually he's going to quote it in the next line, where they say, Hayesh Hashem Bekirbenu Im Ayin. All of a sudden, this is the first in a long list of times where the Jewish people are spoiled little brats, if I don't say so myself. And the minute they don't get something that they wanted and they think that they need, they start complaining about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not there. Is God in our midst? Is He even here? Is He even with us? Did He abandon us? Why were they complaining? Because pitom, they didn't have water. Say Chazal, I understand something. Tamir ani beinech, I'm with you all the time. Umezuman l'chol tzarcheichem. I'm always with you. I give you everything. And you have a chutzpah to say, Hayesh Hashem b'kabeinu yom'ayin. Chayechem. So to speak, but I swear by your life, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hakelev ba v'noshech eschem v'atam tzuakim li b'teidun heichanani. You think that I haven't been with you? You think I haven't been helping you? You'll see a wild dog, a Rottweiler, is going to come and bite you, and you'll see. Then you'll appreciate me. What's the mashal? Says Chazal, mashal Adam shirkiv bino al ketefav yetzel aderech. Somebody's going on a trip. Says to the son, "Come, let's go. Let's have some father-son bonding. We'll have a fun time together. Come with me." And he puts his son on his shoulders, carries him. What a fun trip for the son. So they're going down the road. All of a sudden, the son, who can have good, clear vision because he's up on his father's shoulders, he sees off to the right, there's an ice cream stand. Abba, can I get some ice cream? Sure, the father says. Then what happens? Then they keep on going, and on the left-hand side, he sees a pizza shop. Abba, can I have pizza? No problem, mommy's not here. Everything, you can give everything. A few miles later, he keeps on going. There's this toy store. Can we get a toy? Abba says, okay, no problem. Anytime he wants, he can see things in the distance. He says to his father, no problem. Eventually, they're walking and walking. Pogu ba'adam echad. They see somebody. Amar lo, and the kid sees this person walking towards them. And he says to him, Re'i says, Abba, have you seen my father? Amar lo. Aviv, the father hears the question. You forgot? You're sitting on my shoulders. He can't see the father, but he's sitting on the father's shoulders. And after a short bit of time, he almost forgot that the father was there. The father is hurt. The father's insulted. You can say after all this, I care in you, you're on my shoulders, I'm giving everything you want. And now you can ask, where am I? Yishlicho me'alav, uba kelev v'noshcho. Simcha, is the printing not clear? No, people have it? They have it? Okay, fine. If not, you have it in the PDF. Those the high-tech and the low-tech versions of the sources. Okay? So all of a sudden the father says, now you don't know where I am. You think I'm not here? And he throws him down off of his shoulders. And sure enough, all of a sudden you see that going through this journey, it's been very dangerous the whole way. The son doesn't even realize it because he's been on his father's shoulders. The second he has to walk on his own, a wild dog comes and bites him. Similarly, again, in the Nimshol, the Jewish people are being carried by HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Mitzrayim, 10 plagues, through the Yam Suf. And all of a sudden, one minute, they don't get what they want. Is there Hashem here? What happened? And Hashem says, oh, now you don't even realize I'm here. You forgot about me. Okay, see how you do on your own. Second they're on their own, Amalek comes and attacks. Okay, those are the two parables, the two Mashalim brought down in Rashi. One in Kiseitze, one in Bishalach. Okay, continues Rav Asher Weiss. Harelon shnei mishalom nifloim b'maisa Amalek. And what's the implicit question? Of course, is why do you need two different parables to explain the same phenomenon? Right, what happens in Kiseitze and Devarim is a review of what happened in Mishalach and Shmos. What is special about this? Why do we need two different mishalom? So says Rav Asher Weiss, a small but profound ha'ara. Ha'echad ba lahamchish es rishas Amalek. Pisho v'cha'ataso. The second and more famous one about the boiling water is a way of illustrating with the vivid imagery of the boiling water the evil wickedness of Amalek. Va'acher, and the other one which actually comes first, madgish she'ashemim anachnu u'beshalanu ba'aleinu hasa'ar. But this second one, hazeh, but this second one, which is the parable of the boiling of the father and the son carrying the boy on their shoulders, that is a vivid illustration of our guilt. Kasher kafarnu b'tovas hamakom aleinu, because we denied God's great kindness and munificent grace to us. V'shalnu, and we even had the chutzpah to ask, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu, ad shekaviyachol zarko sono mi'al ketefav ela kelev shebav v'nashach otanu. As if Kash Baruch says, okay, you want to see? You'll see how you do on your own. God threw us down, as it were, and we got bit by the dog. So that's just a little ha'ar in the difference. There's a different focus. One mashal focuses on the evil of Amalek. The second one on the responsibility, the wickedness, the rishus of the Jewish people. And it says Rav Asher Weiss, why did Chazal need to make both? To teach us something so profound. V'limud gadol aleinu, lilmud mikam. Shigam b'shas tzara v'tzuka, kasha tzara tzara umar risha machpida. Avla aleinu, whenever we are in danger, whenever bad things are happening to us, whenever we have an enemy who is attacking us, v'kalonu la'ashima l'cherpa l'kola kila nimretzet, and we can easily just focus all of our energies, all of our attention, all of our emotion on how terrible and how wicked and how disastrous and evil this enemy is, and blame him, blame them for all of our woes. Gam oz aleinu la'asos cheshbon ha'nefesh, u'lesbonein lon yadeinu. Ilu shleim hayinu la'isa midas adin pogaz banu ben kaluma v'loshen yichol lishla banu. But we have to realize that even when something bad is happening and the other party really may be guilty, but first and foremost, I'm not sure if he's emphasizing this as much as I would emphasize this, but I don't think I'm saying any chidushim. This is what Rav Asher Weiss is trying to say. I just want to make it fully clear that it's not, the first instinct cannot be to blame somebody else, even if there is blame to go around. There's not only are there two mashalim. Again, I think this is what he's saying, but I want to emphasize it maybe even more clearly than he did. It's not just the two mashalim that they're different. It's the order of the mashalim. Which one's in Bishalach, which one's in Vayetze? In Bishalach is the one all about the father and the boy, in which we say it's our fault, because we denied Hashem, we weren't grateful for all the gifts Hashem gave us. It's only when, in Kiseitze, in Sefer Dvarim, 40 years later, that we have the famous mashal of the boiling water, we say, oh, Amalek, they're so evil. Says Rav Asher Weiss, this is teaching us a tremendous limud for life, Ravodah Sashema for life. When something, God forbid, bad happens, what should be the first instinct? Not to blame the other person, not to blame the other forces beyond our control, even if in fact it may be true. The fact that sometimes we're chasing shadows and we become conspiratorial and have also, that's already a separate issue. I'm saying even if Be'emes are really, we're wicked people, even Be'emes, somebody wronged you, even Be'emes is someone else's fault, even. But if that is your first instinct, you will never succeed, you will never grow, and you will never improve. The first instinct, the first thing you have to do is not to whitewash the other person. Taka, maybe there's other guilt. But that can't be the focus, that can't be where you put your mental and emotional energy. The first focus has to be, what could I have done differently? How can I be better? Says Rav Asher Weiss, of course, it was a terrible thing what Amalek did. But if we were on the level that we should be, then the fact that they're evil and wanted to do bad, it wouldn't have affected us. Well, you think Amalek is the only anti-Semite in history? How come Pitom Amalek got so close? How come we were so close? How come they were allowed to attack? How come we even had to have whatever injuries we had, then we had to fall? It doesn't mean that we're not absolving them of their guilt. But the first instinct has to be, where could we be better? How could we have been more spiritually in the right place so that we never would have been vulnerable to Amalek? And Chazal are coming to teach us at that moment what was the particular sin, the particular wickedness of Am Yisrael? A lack of appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is not even the focus of this particular piece, but it's an important lesson for all of us, especially, I would say, in parenting, right? Which is that when you spoil, when you give so much, you all of a sudden become at risk for people not appreciating. Now, the answer isn't to become a Cinderella stepmother, right? That is not the answer, right? Finding the right balance is the trick and the key to everything. Of course, we want and we should give our children everything we can, but have to do it in such a way that we hope they don't take it for granted and they don't completely forget us. That's what happened to Am Yisrael. Is Hashem here? Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu? Right? You would think it seems absurd, obscene almost. And yet, when you're on the Father's shoulders, at some point you don't even realize, you don't see Him, you can forget about Him, because everything is coming so good and so easy. It doesn't mean that Amalek was any less evil. Of course they were. But, says Rav Asher Weiss, Chazal are telling us by having that mashal 40 years later, yeah, eventually, the time will come where you could do a proper analysis, and they could get their just desserts, so we could point out what the other side did wrong. But that can't be your first instinct. Now this, of course, is not only an insight into Amalek, into this particular story, but of course is an absolute blueprint for life. For sure, Avodas Hashem, but I wouldn't even limit it to Avodas Hashem. A person's having challenges with a child. A person's having challenges at work with Parnassa. A person's having challenges with their marriage. In every one of these cases, in 100 others, there are other parties involved, there are other gormim, there are other factors, there are other causes, and it may very well be that there are other people who are doing things they shouldn't do, not doing things that they should do, they're not being right, they're not being fair, they promise, it could all be true. But if that's where you put all your energy about what the other person, what the other side, but my boss promised, but this one did this, and this one wasn't right, and this one went back on their word, and this one is being... If you focus on that, you'll never improve the situation, and you'll never improve yourself. It doesn't mean that the other person wasn't wrong. Maybe they were. But the first instinct has to be, how can I be better? What could I have been doing which created an environment? So right away, people get defensive. No, and you're saying it's my fault? Blame the victim. No, we're not blaming the victim. But life is complex, and there are always factors. Even in the what you can see with your own eyes, there are factors. Kavachomer, Ben Benosha Kavachomer, the invisible spiritual factors, which is what he was describing. Right? There was no obvious causal effect between... It wasn't like the Jewish people somehow offended Amalek and then for Amalek attacked us. There wasn't an obvious cause and effect. There was a metaphysical cause and effect. So that we for sure believe. But sometimes it's, you don't have to be metaphysical. Sometimes it's with your own eyes. You could say, listen, it's true that... I don't know, my kids are very chutzpahdik and they didn't do X and Y... But you know, it's also true that I have a temper and sometimes I yell at them when I shouldn't. It's also true that maybe I'm on my phone too much and the kids feel that they're not getting my attention. I'm just randomly making up things which might actually be irrelevant to all of us at some point. Right? So it doesn't mean the kids should talk that way. It doesn't mean that there could be a lot of things. Right? And again, you pick it in work and in marriage and of course in our own Avodas Hashem. Right? If this is how we feel towards our spouse, so Shira Shirim, right? Akash Baruch Hu is also supposed to be our lover. So Hashem, just like a spouse, sometimes we feel like Hashem has let us down. Maybe He hasn't been there for us. We had our Avas Kulo Sayech. There were times when we felt more in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sometimes we feel less in love. And we say, but I've had all these challenges recently. HaKadosh Baruch Hu hasn't been there for me. It could be. I'm not whitewashing it. People have real challenges in life. But if you focus on that first, instead of, were you perfect? Really? You did nothing wrong? You have no role to play in whatever the challenge is now. That's the only way to be productive and to move forward. And that's the insight, says Rashi Weiss. It's simple, but it's so profound. There's so many, just endless ramifications of this from an insight into Parshas Amalek and Zohar Amalek. He develops this based on another Gemara, a very well-known Gemara, which we usually are familiar with on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara tells us in Gittin Daf Nun Ches, Tan Rabbanan, Maisib Rabbi Yoshua, Ben Chananya. He was going in one of the big cities of Rome. And what happened? He hears about a certain child who was locked up. Interestingly, the Gemara emphasizes the handsomeness of the child. Why that was important, Mefarshim discussed, but not for now. But the Gemara tells us, Amar al petach beisa esurim, Rishu ben Chanani stands at the edge of the prison, and he starts reading out the first half of Pasuk from the Navi Yirmiyah. Mi nasan lemeshisa Yaakov v'Yisrael lebozazim. Who gave over Yaakov to the spoils? Who gave over Yisrael to be plundered? He starts off that pasuk, and right away says the Gemara, the child from inside the prison finishes the pasuk. What's the continuation of the pasuk? Halo Hashem, zuchatanu lo. We sinned against him. V'lo avu b'drachav haloch, and we didn't go in his ways. V'lo shamu b'torosu, we didn't listen to his Torah. So he says one half of the pasuk, he says the second half. Rav Shmuel ben Chananya says, wow! Muftachani bo shemora harab Yisrael. This kid is going to be a gadol. This kid has unbelievable potential. This kid is going to be the best guy in Lakewood. He is going to be the best one in the mirror. He is the best kid. Unbelievable! Wow! And therefore he says, I take an oath. I am not leaving this place until I can get enough money to ransom his freedom. And sure enough, says the Gemara, he was able to raise a huge sum of money. Podo b'mamon harbe, he saves him, he gets the kid freed. V'lohoyu yamin mu'atim, it wasn't long. Ad shahor haros b'Yisrael. In fact, his prediction was correct. He had an eye for talent. He was a talent spotter. And this young boy who was redeemed and saved from the prison turned out to be none other than the famous Kohen Gadol, Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. For those who remember from the good old days, this is of course the basis of the famous Avram Fried song. Okay, Simcha, okay. But I'm glad you remember. That's the song. Yishmael ben Elisha. Okay? So, Frek Rav Asher Weiss. Yesh lehisponein b'davar. Ma ra Rabbi Yishu ben Chanani b'davar. Also tinok chemimen olama chasin. Hu lios mora ra. What was so impressive? Nowadays, Takta would be impressive. You go to yeshiva. You say the first half of a pasuk from Yirmiyah. And a bachur even knows who Yirmiyah was. He could say the pasuk. This is like the guys, those, and girls, on Yom HaTzma'ut, on the Chidon HaTanach. Those kids are unbelievable. When we first made Aliyah, we used to watch it. Now I can't watch it. I get Chalisha Sadas. It's too depressing to watch that. So you feel like such an Amaris. Oh my gosh. But okay, but in the time of Tanakh, in time of Amir Chazal, he knew a pasuk by heart. And mainly, you could predict he'll become a Tanakh teacher. Where from this do you see that he's going to become a manhig, a kongarul? What did he see in him that was so impressive? So Rav Asher Weiss is medayik in the next paragraph. And yeh bezeh, ish ledakdek b'loshon ha-kosov. He says, perhaps he noticed, it's not so much the fact he knew the pasuk by heart. It's Chazal are saying metaphorically, it's the message of this particular pasuk. How so? Because if you think about it, the pasuk says, Halo Hashem zuchatanu lo. It starts off as, we sinned. V'shuv kosov, and then in the second half of the pasuk, which is what the boy responds with, it's in the third person, lo avu, v'lo shamu. Now, I did not translate it so precisely when I was reading it before. I said, we. We didn't listen. We didn't go in his ways. But it's actually not precise. The first half of the pasuk is we. Second half of the pasuk is they. L'chara, says Rav Asher Weiss, diuk. Yotar meduktak b'loshon. Either the whole pasuk should have been in the we. Lo avinu b'drachav. Lo shamanu b'toraso. Or the opposite. L'chilufin. Halo Hashem zu chat'u na chatanu. Either should all have been we, or should all have been they. In fact, there's an inconsistency, a grammatical inconsistency in the pasuk. The first half says we didn't listen. The second half says they didn't listen, even though you read it seamlessly. Why did the Tana, Rabbi Shua ben Elisha, Rabbi Shua ben Chananya, he stopped at that particular moment, and the boy picked up right at that moment? So Rabbi Shua suggests, Elanira de lamadnu kan mi debrei navi. Whenever bad things happen to us, Kashamidas Adin Pogas Bono, whenever Amidas Adin happens, Nebuch, Rashis Chovaseinu Lefashmesh Bema'asei Nu, Ulehiti Darkei Nu, Neitse Chovateinu Bahatalas Rebesh Al Soneinu, Sonei Hashem. First is, what's the first half of this pasuk? We. Alo Hashem Chatanu Lo. We. It's on us. And only the second half of the pasuk is about the they. Tchila aleinu lomar halo Hashem zuchatanu lo. Only afterwards, then we have the right to say lo avu b'drachav halach lo shamu b'toraso. The same idea. It could be a taka that there's blame to go around. It could be other people really wronged us. We're on dishonest and immoral and all true, but that can't be the first instinct. Similarly, maybe the most well-known example of this, the Navi Yonah. Right, when the waves are crashing and the ship is about to go under, says Yonah, Bisheli Hasar Hazeh. It's because of me. He takes personal responsibility. So says Rav Asher Weiss at the end of the piece, last paragraph, this boy who's in jail, Shenikra Mebeis Aviv, he's torn away from his family. He's sent into jail by the Romans, the Umar HaRashah. How easy would it have been to blame other people? Not only could he have blamed the Romans, but we know there were all sorts of other sects of Jews who were doing terrible things in those days, the Tzedukim and the Baitusim, and then you had the Biryonim, the civil war that was happening inside of Israel. Should we fight? Should we do diplomacy? Right? I don't need to tell you, even in this very day, Ariyom Azeh, right? Is it so poshut? What's the best way to deal with Biden? Everyone thinks that they're an armchair prime minister. We should be more confrontational. We should be more diplomatic. All of a sudden now, maybe the Congress wants to invite Netanyahu. Do you remember? Netanyahu in Israel has never recovered from the last time Netanyahu spoke to Congress, because Obama and a huge percentage of the Democrats have never forgiven him because he showed him up. I'm not saying he was right or wrong then either. That was about Iran at the time. He felt he had to go right there. Should he do it again? I don't know. It's not obvious. It's so complicated. So the Biryonim in the time of the Romans said, no, we should fight. Others said we should be more diplomatic. Everyone thinks that the other person, and it's true, people were making mistakes. It's not easy to know what to do. It's not easy to know what to do. And it's easy to look at other people and blame them in these difficult situations. And yet, what do we learn from this? That's not what the Navi was trying to teach us. Reishis Amar, Halo Zeh Hashem Chatanulo, Hiktim Cheshbon Nafsho, Lefnei Shehitil Dofi Ba'achirim. And therefore, when Yeshua ben Chananya recognized the godless of this child, that he understood personal responsibility. That's why he said about that child, Muftachani Bezeh Shem Moro Rabbi Yisrael. It wasn't that he was always a genius, because he knew Tanakh. It's that we had the right spiritual instinct, he had the right DNA, He's a type of person who can take responsibility, not looking to blame others as the first line of defense. And again, just to end where we started, this is the insight he says about what we have to remember in Parsha Zachor. When we're doing Zachor, so yes, it's on the simple level, what we're remembering is what Amalek did to us. But if we really, really want to prevent the next Amalek, we have to remember what role we had in that. And again, there is, just like everything in life, it goes to extremes, it can be unhealthy. So that's what they call victim blaming. So victim blaming is when you absolve the other person. But if you don't absolve them, you just point out that there's something that you could have done differently that may have changed the situation. That's just smart and intelligent. Again, I will, at risk, my own health. I'll give the most obvious example where this happens. I hope not all relevant to our lives, just to illustrate how going to extremes makes people, their mind, you know, get infected by brain worms. But this happens all the time, Nebuch, with sexual assault. Right? The overwhelming percentage of time, there was alcohol involved beforehand, which allowed, unfortunately, the victim to not have either the right instincts, not to go where she shouldn't have, or to fight off, or to be aware, etc., etc. So, if you ever point that out, right, in the secular world, or the way people are dressed, or the way they were acting beforehand, you get tarred and feathered as victim blaming. So, if you mean to say that therefore the rapist or the assault, you know, the person who assaulted is therefore not to blame, so of course that would be terrible. That would be victim blaming. But if you say, no, of course, the person, the rapist, the one who did the assault, should be thrown away in jail. Of course, what they did is terrible and unforgivable. But if you have a daughter, you have someone you love, you have a student, you want to give them advice before they go out for the night, you wouldn't say, do whatever you want and you'll be safe. That's not showing how much you love the person. That's not victim blaming. That's saying if you do things, bad people might take advantage of you. So be smart. So here's the same thing. We're not saying because we did this, therefore Amalek is not to blame. No, they are to blame, and they live in infamy forever because of what they did. But we still have to have a cheshbon nefesh that we did things that were wrong, and that allowed us to be vulnerable. And we need to do that, not to blame, but to learn from our mistakes, so that hopefully the next time we will hopefully Imer Hashem do better. I won't waste anyone's time in explaining the relevance to perhaps the current situation we have in Medina Yisrael, and perhaps some personal responsibility that some people in leadership should probably take. V'ein kan makom laharich, v'ein tzarech. Good Shabbos to one and all, and afreilich in Purim.